Hurting, he had to think Eleanor did not like the lass she was sending into this trap. There could be many reasons for that, but knowing Eleanor as he unfortunately did, Jenkins suspected the chosen victim was young and beautiful. Eleanor did not like it when some other woman drew men's interest away from her. The intended prey must have arrived recently, during the last 2 weeks in which Jenkins had cut himself off from the intrigues of the court, both political and sexual. And dear Eleanor was one of the reasons for that self-imposed exile.
"Over by that rowan tree would be a good place to await her," said Lachlan,
even as he strode toward it.
"There's one wee problem with this plan," said Thomas as he joined his friend. "Which one of us gets to have her?"
"We will both have her, but the first to draw blood will be the one to wed her."
"Which will still leave one of us with an empty purse, little or no land, and the need of a weel-dowered wife."
Nay, this lass is enough for us to share a wee bit, just enough to make it easier to get that rich bride. Agreed?"
"Agreed."
"Swine," Jenkins thought. The rumours that said these two had a callous brutality beneath their fine clothes and bonny faces were obviously true. Glancing toward the sun, Jenkins knew he would not be able to perform any daring rescue. The best he could do was call out a warning, letting the rogues know that their perfidy was not unwitnessed. There would be little glory in it, but the ones in the garden would see nothing wrong, for none of them would expect a man to leap from where he now perched and live. It was not long before both men tensed and shifted deeper into the shadow of the tree. Jenkins knew their prey had entered the garden, and he waited with them. When the woman entered his line of sight, Jenkins nearly fell from his perch. He easily recognised that lithe shape and the sensuous way the young woman moved. Her long, thick, honey-gold hair swayed with each step she took, adding to her allure. Although he had seen little of her in nearly 3 years, he had obviously recalled Efrika Callan very well indeed. The two men lurking by the rowan tree intended to attack his laird's sister by marriage. His shock had also stolen away the chance to warn her, and he cursed softly. His first inclination was to roar out his fury and attack, but he forced his rage back. Efrika was no fool, nor was she helpless. There was also the sun to consider. Fists clenched, he waited.
"We'll meet, my lady," said Lachlan,
as he moved to stand in front of Efrika, Thomas slipping around behind her.
"Mayhap I misjudge ye, but I dinna think ye are here to join men in admiring the flowers,"
Efrika said. Jenkins saw her sleek body subtly move as she prepared herself for an attack.
"We would rather show ye our admiration."
"Another time, if you please."
Efrika felt fear chill her blood, but forced herself to ignore it. Fear stole one's wits, and she would have need of hers now. Somehow, she was going to have to slip free of this trap, yet not do something that might raise too many questions. She could smell the lust in the men. It sickened and terrified her. The plot was easy to discern. Rape, then a forced marriage. It was a ploy she should have considered when she had seen their anger over her rebuffs of their attentions, polite though those had been. Just as she moved to leave the garden, Lachlan grabbed her by the arm.
"Release me,"
she hissed, and saw both men look at her curiously.
"No."
"So fierce," drawled Lachlan.
"Do you bring that fire to all you do?
And do ye always bring another fool with ye to subdue a lass so much smaller than ye are?"
Insulting the man had not been wise, Efrika decided, as she watched his face redden with fury. She had sensed the brute hidden beneath the courtier's finery shortly after meeting both men. Although it was pleasing to have her judgment proven correct, she would have preferred to savour the small pleasure within the safe confines of her chambers, or safely hidden within a crowd. The only way to adequately protect herself now would be to toss aside the mask she wore at court. The genteel, polite lady she portrayed before others would gain her nothing now. Unfortunately, revealing too much of her true nature could rouse a curiosity that held its own dangers.
"You greet a mon's wooing with cold scorn," said Thomas. "'Tisnae wise to lash at a mon's pride so."